discussed it. Now I'll preach from it. In our study recently of the book of Genesis, these first chapter, the last two or three Wednesday nights, we've had some interesting discussion, and this morning I want to go back to that first chapter and use it as my text. I want to read the first verse, and then I'll stop there and come back to the bread. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And for decades, there has been a debate between the creationist and the evolutionist. There's been a debate between those who believe the story of creation in the Bible or those who hold to the theory of Darwin or Darwin's theory of evolution. And in recent times, in recent months and years, it seems as if this debate has begun to heat up in various areas of the world and across our land as well. It seems like things are coming to a head, and that's coming back to the thoughts of the Bible. Were we created or did we evolve? And I would like to begin by saying this to begin with here. Satan knows the time. He does not know when the Lord's coming back, but he knows his time's about to run out. I believe that Satan understands the signs of the time, even as you and I can, and he sees the prophecies of the end time being fulfilled, and he knows he doesn't have much longer. Whatever he's going to do, he must do now. And because of that reason, I believe that he is trying his best to cause as many as he can to lose their confidence or faith in God and disbelieve the Bible and go a different route altogether. And because of that, there is this debate of creationism, of evolutionism. We're not going to discuss that this morning because the debate has been settled. Amen. In the beginning, God. Amen. The liberals, the humanists, the New Agers, and many other groups today are trying their best to remove everything that pertains to God from our society. I thought even the money that we have that says, "In God we trust," did you know there's a movement afoot to take that off of our money? As children stand with their hands over their hearts, they make a pledge. The Pledge of Allegiance as they stand there before the flag, and now there are those that would like to take the words "under God" out of the pledge. There are those that would like to ban any kind of silent prayer in the schoolhouse. There are those that would like to take all the commandments or anything of God out of the public square, out of the shoulder of the public square. We are living in a perilous hour. And the list goes, oh man, wants to get rid of every mention of God. The one reason for that is, if the Bible is true, if God is the Creator, then man will answer to God. And man doesn't want to answer to God. Man wants to be his own being, his own person. I'll do as I please. I will answer to nobody, no one. But the Bible says there's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Man, I want to be standing right there when a man called Voltaire, the French atheist, has to get down on his knees and say to Jesus Christ, "You are Lord." He tried his best to get rid of the Bible. He tried his best to get rid of everything about God. But he's going to bow down one day and say, "You are Lord." Aren't you glad this morning we have the privilege even now? We don't have to bow, but we want to bow before the Lord. He's Lord of our lives. He's King Jesus. Amen, amen. And the devil doesn't want anything to do with God. He doesn't want you to make it to heaven. He'll do everything he can. I told you last week, the devil doesn't like you. He's trying every way that he possibly can to hinder you from serving God and having the victory and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. But in spite of all the efforts of the ungodly to do away with the truths of God's Word, listen closely, the Word of God will remain. The Word of God is everlasting. The Bible will stand the test of the ages. Amen. Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John, the Scriptures cannot be broken. Let me say that again. Jesus Himself said, the Scriptures cannot be broken. You can break the law, but the Scriptures cannot be broken. You said, Brother Jones, a lot of people don't go by the Scriptures. Listen to us. Whatever they do, they can reject it, they can deny it, they can curse it, they can try to destroy it, but they cannot break it. Whatever a man does, you know what? The Scripture is going to still be the same. When everything else has faded from the picture, all has gone back to dust. The ages have come and gone, and nothing has stood the test of ages around about here in this world, but the Word of God will stand the test. It'll come forth unchanging. And so I go back to the first verse, in the beginning God. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Let me read on. I'll read on through the 13th verse. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, after its kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And I'm going to conclude the reading there. I want to come back to the first verse. In the beginning, God. God is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. In the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy, when Moses had gathered the children of Israel around about just before he went up on Mount Nebo, there to die on Mount the Pisgah range to where he went up to die. He gathered the people around to encourage them and to tell them what God had done and how great God had been and how good God had been. And just before he finished with this final word to the people, he said, in the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Let me leave this with you today. When Moses said that, those 3,500 years ago, I want you to know there's still the same thing today. Our God is eternal. He's the eternal God. He is our refuge, and underneath are His everlasting arms. Amen. They were there for Moses and for Aaron and for Miriam. They were there for Joshua. They were there for David and Daniel and Samuel, and they're there for us today underneath of the everlasting arms. Amen. 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 He will hold you up. He will lift you up. He will encourage you along the way. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Amen. And the earth was without form and void. The earth had became a time after God had created it, a time when it was without form and void. As we studied Sunday and Wednesday night Bible study, there was a time when God made the heavens and the earth. And I believe this, maybe some disagree. I believe that everything God has ever made was good. The Bible says now in the second verse that the earth was now full without form and void. Something has taken place. And we read in the Bible that somewhere between God creating the heavens and the earth and the earth being in a mess, that Satan rebelled in the heavens. Satan being Lucifer. And Lucifer, no doubt, one of the three archangels in the glory world. He rebelled against God, and God cast him out to the earth. And when Satan arrived in this earth that God had made. He brought darkness and confusion and chaos. Stay with me right now. Everywhere that Satan goes, he brings confusion and trouble. He stirs it up. Have you had trouble on your job? There have been times when things weren't going right. Did you know what? Satan had his hand in it. In the school, in the home, in individual lives, where Satan is, there's confusion and chaos and darkness, trouble. And Satan has made a mess. And the next part of the verse to me is the part that stands out that I would like to just hold on just for a moment. It says, and the Spirit of God, in that second verse, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Why don't you jot this down in your mind if you don't even write it down? When the Spirit of God moves, something happens. When the Spirit of God moves, things do not remain the change. Remain the same. Something transpires. And I thought as I was preparing the sermon, God, you've been so good to us. You've blessed us in so many ways. My family and the other families of the church, you've been good to us all. And I believe the cry has been and continues to be, but God, may your Spirit move one more time. As the preacher preached the other Sunday night, the power shortage. God, may the power be turned on one more time. We're living in a perilous hour, a dark hour. The world is in confusion, and everywhere you look around, there's sin on every hand. And the only hope for mankind is the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep, and things began to happen. Things began to transpire. Amen, amen. God, one more time, may the Spirit of the Lord cross over the heartstrings of men and women. Hallelujah, that our hearts will be put in tune again. Tune the hearts of the people, God, for thy glory. May the Spirit of the Lord have right away. Would it be all right with you if the Holy Ghost had right away in your heart and life? Would it be all right with you if the Holy Ghost went right away in the church? Amen, amen, amen. The Spirit of the Lord moved. Praise God, praise God. Have your way, Lord. In the third verse, God said, let there be light, and there was light. The omnipotent God, the Creator, brings light, and that's the first part of my sermon today. The Almighty God, the Creator, brings light. Where God is, there is light. Again, Moses said in the 34th chapter of Exodus, how they'd been up on the mountain and received the commandments for the second time. So let me just take a moment. When they arrived in the wilderness, after they crossed the Jordan, after they crossed the Red Sea and across the wilderness, and now they've come all the way across the wilderness to Mount Sinai. Then about 46 days from the Red Sea to Mount Sinai, Moses is called to go up on the mountain. God speaks to his heart, gives him commandments. First of all, he said, go back down and tell the people to sanctify themselves. Because I'm going to come down on the mountain in the third day and give them commandments. And you know how that the men, how that the people had already started sinning, and Moses broke the commandments. And now in the 34th chapter, God calls him to come back up on the mountain and gives him the commandments a second time. In the 34th chapter, commandments that are written by the finger of God, the Bible says, and this time when he comes down from the mountain, the Bible says Moses' face shone in such a manner that the people were unable to come close and speak to him. His face was aglow. And the Bible says that Moses put a veil over his face so that the people could come near to speak to him. Do you know why his face was aglow? He had been in the presence of Almighty God. Our God is not, Jesus is not only light, the source of light, He is the light. Moses has been in the presence of God. And his face is aglow. His face is lit up. Why? Because God is light. And God brings light. And everywhere God goes, He brings light. That's why the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want God in their lives. They want to live in darkness. They want to do their own thing. They don't want to be convicted. They don't want any kind of condemnation. But listen to us. I'm glad when God comes in, He brings light with Him. He is light. Thank God, thank God. There's more there than I'm sure that I could ever get out of the Scriptures along that line, but God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all, the Bible says. Moses has been in God's presence. In the second chapter of Luke, on the night that Jesus was born, the Bible says, now we'll read it, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, speaking of the angels. On that night, how the angels came and appeared unto the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around about those shepherds out on the fields, yonder on the mountainside of Bethlehem's mountains. How that the glory of the Lord shone around about them. God's presence lit up tonight, dispersing the darkness out there on the Judean hills. God brings light. And when we come to the last chapter of the Bible, the 22nd chapter of Revelation, speaking of the New Jerusalem, the home of the redeemed. Listen to this, John said, and there shall be no need of the light. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, and neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth the light. He giveth the light in the first chapter of Genesis. He gives the light in the last chapter of the Bible. He's giving light today. God brings light. Hallelujah. Someone came to this church one time. We've had several that have made some testimonies. One person said that God spoke to her and told her to go to abundant life. Another person said these words: when I stepped out of my car on the parking lot, I felt the presence of God. Now that's good. Others have said, when they walked in that door, there was something about the atmosphere that was different. And I say this today, if we ever lose the presence of God, if God doesn't come to visit us, we're in bad shape. He's promised where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He doesn't fail. But this morning, He's not in every church. Because a lot of churches are not gathered in the name of the Lord. A lot of churches are not even worshiping the Lord. It's a social gathering. What are you saying, preacher? We need the presence of God. God brings light.
Amen.
And if there was ever a world that's dark, ours is dark today. And God brings light. Help us, God, in this last hour, to be everything You would have us to be. When He comes, the darkness has to go. I'll leave my testimony and I'll go to the second point. I'm thankful for a revival service. I was raised in church. I'd been to the altar. I'd been saved as a youngster. I'm thankful for a revival service 57 years ago when the invitation was given to me and I accepted. I responded to the invitation and that my heart was dark. I lived in sin. I was a backslider. I was miserable. I was miserable. We'd been married a year. Wasn't that our marriage was in any kind of jeopardy. But I knew that I was lost. And I knew what needed to be done. And the man that is lost and knows what needs to be done and won't do it, he's miserable. And when we made our way to the altar, my wife and I, that revival service that Sunday night, with dark hearts, sinful hearts. When the Lord came in, I want you to know, the darkness had to go. He expelled the darkness, amen. And He lit up our lives. He brought light to our lives. And He's still there today. He still lights up our lives, amen. Walking in the light, we sing that chorus, that hymn. Walking in the light, brother, He is the light. Number one, our God brings light. Number two, beginning with the sixth verse, I'll read 6 through 8 again.
And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day, because of the condition of the earth, after Satan had brought all this calamity about it, when he arrived, there had to be a separating of the waters from the waters in order for the atmosphere, the heavens, and the landmass to appear. And so the second thing I bring to your attention, not only does God bring light, God brings order out of confusion. God brings order out of confusion. I want to leave a statement. I've always been a disciplinarian. Not hard-nosed, but disciplinarian. I'm a chip off the old block. My dad was a disciplinarian. What do you mean? Explain what you mean, preacher. My dad meant, when I say something, I expect you to respond. Amen. I don't remember my daddy telling us twice. Right then, I said, not do that. Maybe he did, and I just can't remember. But if it did, I probably got something else. I'm a disciplinarian in the sense of the word. I believe the God we're serving is a God of order. I believe everything about Him is a God of order. I don't mean stiff and starchy. I'm talking about a God of order. Everything God does is decent and in order. I've been in services where there was confusion and people claim to be, this is the Holy Ghost moving. Listen closely. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. Amen. Never does anything out of order. He'll never have you do anything out of order. God! Listen, if I could explain it, and I can't. You would look into the heavens with all the stars and whatever, the planets that are out there, everything out there. There is such an order that mankind has learned that at a certain time, on a certain day, if you want to see Jupiter, if you want to see Venus, or this or that, and look at a certain spot in the clouds, and it's going to be going across the sun, and you'll never see it again in your lifetime, because it only happens once in so many hundred years, or whatever. God's a God of order. And the Bible says He begins to divide and separate the waters in the firmament so that there will be waters above in the clouds and waters below. And below He begins to make the rivers and the seas and the lakes and whatever. God divided it all, separated it all. Let me leave this with you today. After we got saved, God began to separate us from the things of the world. And the man that refused to be separated from the world will be none of God's. John said in 2 John chapter 2, he said, love not the world, neither the things that be therein. The man that loves the world is not a lover of God. And I thought today, God, You are the separator. You are the one that brings order. You are the divider. You are the one that does separate sin from righteousness and all the rest, so that people might know exactly where they stand with the Almighty God. So God did some dividing and some separating. And it's the same with every one of us. If we plan to go to heaven, God's going to have us to separate ourselves from sin and from the things of the world. Let me use an illustration, if I may. And maybe this is a crude illustration, but I'll use it anyhow. The cross. The cross is the divider. I'll use an illustration. On the day that Jesus was crucified, there was a man on the right-hand side and a man on the left-hand side of the Lord. They were thieves, insurrectionists, robbers, and the rest. And the Bible says, while they are hanging on the cross outside the city of Jerusalem, one, in essence, says to Jesus hanging on the center cross, please forgive me. Please forgive me. When you come into your kingdom, please remember me. And some of the most beautiful words written in this Bible are these. When Jesus turned and said to him, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Do you know what happened that day? Jesus forgave him. He died before the sun went down, because the sun went down would bring the Sabbath.
He died before the sun went down. Don't know exactly what time of the day it was while he's hanging there, but before the sun went down, he was dead, and Jesus was dead, and the two of them were yonder in paradise together. What are you saying, preacher? God brings order by dividing and separating. He'll divide you from the world. He'll divide you from sin. You'll never, if you get saved, you'll never be happy continuing in sin. Let me leave this with you. If you try to live a Christian life and still living in sin, you'll be miserable both sides. You're not happy with the believers and you're not happy with the world. Only way to be happy is shut out to God. Amen, amen. And the Bible says He brings division. He brings divide. He's a separator. On the cross that day, one on one side and one on the other, one asked the Lord to forgive and was saved from his sins, and the other mocked and laughed and ridiculed and died in his sins. And listen closely, this today, this morning, he is still, right now, he's in the torments of hell. Been there 2,000 years. And we'll be forever in the torments of the damned. What are you saying, preacher? God brings dividing and separation. Either we'll separate from the world and live holy, go God's route, or either we'll go our own route. And I thank God for you, church. And I'm preaching to everybody here, every one of us. I hope you'll take this in, all of us. Holiness is not just for the Abundant Life Tabernacle and the Holiness Church. Holiness for every believer in the world. God is a separator, and the cross that day became the separator between those that rejected and those that accepted, those that wanted Christ in the heart and those that said, I don't want it. The cross is the divider. And I thank God today, of the old rugged cross. I think sometimes we take it for granted. We don't realize what took place on that cross that day when He paid for the sins of the world. Where would you be today if it had not been for the cross? The important question that I leave with you before I go to the third point is, which side of the cross are you on? Which side of the cross, which of these two men hanging on either side of Jesus do you identify with? Have you repented of your sins and sold out to God? Have you really, really, really made a commitment to God, love Him with all of your heart, or sin still in your life today? You said, Brother Jones, you're preaching to the church. I'm preaching to myself, and I'm preaching to everyone here. Not a one of us have crossed the finish line. And until we do, there's some dividing and separating. The devil brings some things along your way that you'll have to have God to help you to make the right choice. But He will. He'll see to it that if you'll allow Him. And the third thing I want to mention today, from the 9th and the 13th through the 13th verses, I've mentioned that God brings light and God brings order. Third thing I want to mention is God brings life. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. After dividing the waters, the book of Genesis says, from the land, causing the seas and the lakes and what have you. It all began to come forth with the herb-yielding seed and the fruit-yielding tree. And this is the part that I would like to end up on this morning. God was calling this earth that He has created to be fruit-bearing. Now, God brings life, and I'm going to try to wind down, but listen to this. We have spent, as America and maybe others as well, has spent millions and millions of dollars to try to find out if there's life anywhere else other than the earth. All kind of things are going. We've sent out satellites to Mars and all out yonder to try. Is there life anywhere else? Some think maybe we found a little puddle of water that used to be. It looks like it might be a dry water hole. Where Mars or wherever it might be, and maybe there's life because water, there's life. Listen closely. When God made this earth, He made it to be fruit-bearing. He made man to bear fruit, physically and spiritually. When He said, fill up the earth, multiply and replenish the earth, fill up the earth. That's why He instituted the first institution of marriage, man and a woman. And mankind today has tried to change it. We're living in a day. And again, I was talking to Wilmer, and Wilmer mentioned something in our Sunday school class, and I'm not going to mention it here, but there is something disturbing going on in the church where her and Peggy attend in Tennessee today. Because of philosophy of man. Man's gotten away from the Bible. Man's begun to think, I can go this route and do my own thing. And God still loves me. And because God loves me, I'm going to heaven. Everybody that goes to hell, God loved them. God brings life. He brings abundant life. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God speaks of the flowers and the grass and whatever because God's calling the earth to fruitfulness. He's made the earth getting it ready for man. And now He's made man and is calling man. He's going to make man and He's calling in the next chapter. In the first chapter He mentions it, but the next chapter He does it. But He's making man to be fruitful. Bring forth fruit in the earth. And the 15th chapter of John says, herein, Jesus said these words, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Now I'm going to leave this with you today and we're going to pray. I'm going to go down. I want to reemphasize the three things that I've tried to bring to your attention. God brings light. And it's the light of this word. And no man can be saved without the light of the word. No man can be saved without hearing or reading the word. No man. He might read it in a tract, he might hear it in a testimony, he might hear it in a song, whatever. God brings light. A type of salvation. God brings order. Divider, the separator. We will either go God's route or our own route, as I mentioned earlier. God is a separator. A type of sanctification. God brings life. If we follow His steps and obey Him, live for Him and love Him with all of our hearts, we can have His anointing. We can be fruit-bearing Christians. We can please God. There's coming a time when God is going to usher us into the glory world. Won't it be wonderful to hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen, amen. What do you say, preacher? I'm saying God brings light, which is a type of salvation. God brings separation from the world, a type of sanctification. And God brings life. Holy Ghost filled lives. Anointed lives. God lives that will be fruit bearing for the glory of God. God is the God of mankind. Let Him have His way in your life and live a victorious life. The only people in the world that are living in victory today are those who know the Lord. There is no victory outside of Christ. Only darkness and despair and doom and damnation. God brings light. God brings order. God brings life. My wife comes to the piano. We're going to sing number 39 in the course book. I want you to keep this in mind. God's getting her ready. I'm glad. That Sunday school lesson. My wife said this morning, she said it again during the week, man, that's a good Sunday school lesson. I came out here first thing that George wanted to know, did we finish? We finished because I didn't want to leave anything so good out. Might never get back to it. We finished. But one of these days, it's going to be finished. And He's coming. He's coming. Years ago, J.F. Falwell put out a little pen. And this is what it said, perhaps today. He sent me one. Perhaps today. It's been quite a while since I received that pen, and it hasn't come. But listen closely. We're closer now than we were then. Whatever you do, stay ready. Serve God. Obey God. Will you stand together with me? Number 39 in the course book.